This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Platt and we're going to talk about a relatively quiet week for QPR, which is very unlike us. Maybe the calm before the storm of the weekend and these last eight games of the season. We haven't done one for a couple of weeks now, have we? So we obviously not a lot has happened, but we haven't spoken about the Sunderland result and performance, so we'll go through that, and obviously we'll try and tee up and predict what's going to happen in these last eight games, which is a bit of a fool's game, really. I don't even think you can predict it, or even, I literally don't even know what's going to happen. I think it's a 50-50, I think, for me, as every game is from now to the end of the season. I couldn't even predict it. We'll go through it all anyway. First on the pod, we've just got a full pod this week as well. Where not much has happened, everyone's on. So we've got Dunk, you all right, mate?
Yeah, all good, mate. Ready to get into the Sunderland game and looking forward to previewing Birmingham, amongst other things.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Famous last Jack, words.
Yeah. Jack, up, all you okay, mate?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Nice, quiet sort of week. And QPR world for once, but Birmingham's fast approaching, so looking forward to that.
And Chris, ever present mate now, how are you okay, mate?
All good, mate. I think you've summed it up that a lot, this international break has felt a little bit calm before the storm of, yeah, what can make or break our year, summer, etc., whatever you want to put on it.
Yeah, I'm so tense about it, really. The quicker it gets to the Friday, the more I'm just nervous, and I just, Tyler Roberts' face just keeps like running around in my head. Like, I can just see it. Like, it's really annoying. I don't know why someone mentioned it. I don't know where I heard it, but he hasn't scored all season. And as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, I wish I hadn't read that. I bet Ethan Laird has the best game of his life, and then I don't think Dizel can play, can he? Or can he? Yeah. I assume not.
No, he's on loan, isn't he? So there'll be a clause in it that he can't play against us. Otherwise, it would be stupid. But then it's us, isn't it? I can imagine us not putting that clause in, because we're that dozy.
I've not seen anything. I would imagine he can't. But anyway, either way, yeah, it's probably a good thing if he could play.
I agree.
They also got Deion Sanderson as well. Anyway, we'll cover Birmingham in a minute. Let's just rewind to Sunderland. There was two sides to this, wasn't there? I'm not sure which one either of you were on, but just quickly before I come to you, Doug, I guess there's the side of people that think it's a good point away at Sunderland. It's always a good point away from home, I always think, anyway. But Sunderland are a good team, and we could have easily lost that at the end there. You know, another, you know, not, the old GPR, or any, you know, you could lose set piece, won the goal, corner, win you 0-0, especially away. But and I actually don't think that their team is as bad as people let on, especially their back four. I was half expecting it to be like under 21s, but you've got Northern Ireland international, you've got, you know, Ballard, who's as good a defender as anyone in the league, Callum Styles, veteran, and I don't know who the other guy was, but he was probably the best on the day, actually. I think he's a left back, isn't he? I don't know, but I don't think it was terrible as I thought it would be. But the other side of people, which is a lot of what I've seen, is that it was a missed opportunity. Sunderland were there for the taking, which I think they were. And we may look back on this result come the end of the season and think that maybe these 2 points could have been pivotal. We did create a few chances. Dunk, I don't know what side you fall on and what your assessment of the game was.
I'm kind of in the middle of it. I agree that a point away from home against Sunderland you would take most days, but how the game played out, I felt that we were so comfortable. I didn't really feel that they had a few couple of chances, but it felt like we were dominant team and we just lacked that clinical edge. Like we had so many chances to just get a goal and we just didn't take them. So from that perspective, it kind of feels like it was 2 points dropped, because I felt that, especially in the first half, I thought that goal was just going to come. I thought Anderson should have done better when got the ball played to him by the defender. The keepers were out of position. It just felt like he just delayed taking the shot. And then when he did, he just hit it straight down the middle of the goal to the keeper. Like, it was just, Willock should have scored in the second half. There were so many chances that where I felt we should have scored and we didn't. So I can feel like it's a 2 points lost or dropped.
That's what is that you think?
I guess a point's still a good point, but I feel like the game was there for the taking, and we played well enough to get the 3 points. We just didn't score. Like Dykes was awful, and like we should have won it, is my opinion.
Yeah, I get that. I think that we created enough opportunities to win the game. I mean, it's the biggest issue with this team that's been all season, that we just don't have a goal scorer. We don't finish our chances. We haven't got that instinctive striker who can grab you a goal when you need it. We've not had that all season, really. I wouldn't say any of the three strikers we've got are that type. However, what I do think is, well, if we do go down and we look back at points, I don't know whether I'll be looking at the Sunderland game as well. I look back to like the West Brom game and I think that somehow we didn't win that football match.
Sheffield Wednesday away,
where we see those two last minute goals. You know, there's been a couple of other performances where we've come away with a draw. I'm not sure Sunderland away will be where we'll go. Those 3 points, 2 points with the 2 points. Do you know what I mean? Though we did, and I wouldn't say we battered them either. I mean, I don't know. Jack, Chris, I don't know if you've got anything to add.
I think you're positive. Go on, Jack. Sorry, mate.
No, go ahead.
So I was going to jump in with we didn't batter them. They didn't have a shot on target all game.
Yeah, that was going to be my exact point. Like,
yeah.
When, I don't expect you to have this stat off the top of your head, Jack. Like, when is the last time we didn't give up a shot on target? Like, that, I don't even want to say it, as a defence, and as a kind of back five, but as a team, to not give up one in 90 minutes of football is incredible. Like, even if Man City still give up like a couple near enough every game. So that is a major positive. But then, I guess, and kind of he said it in his post-match interview, De Fuentes will be, even makes you more annoyed that we didn't win. Like, if you don't give up a shot on target, you're like, okay, well, the minimum we're going to get there for is a point. And then you don't kind of build on that, if you see what I mean. Yeah. We're now on a 3-game run without a win. That doesn't feel like it can extend to like 4 or 5 games in the current predicament that we're in. So, yeah, a frustrating one. But we said last, or in the previous pod, the main thing was we needed to go in with some sort of positivity to the international break. A clean sheet, a point, was some sort of positivity. Still outside of the bottom three. That's a psychological thing. And we mentioned that's what Cook made the key point about that in his post-match against West Brom, I think it was, that is something that gives you a little bit extra motivation and kind of stronger feeling that we're not in that bottom three, or just continue to stay out of it. I'm sure we'll touch upon it, but see, Armstrong looked very bright, dangerous when he came on. You just need that kind of extra. The shots he took were difficult positions to get a great shot on or really finish. It's more that he shows the ability to get into those positions, which is great. And again, good cutback for Willock. That's something he seems to have done quite well in, actually, in a lot of away games. Get into that position, be sort of calm on the ball, and a lot calmer than he was definitely last season, probably the start of this season, about finding someone. And yeah, unfortunately, Christie couldn't put it away, and he kind of felt like he was falling over by the time he got to the ball. Yeah, just felt a bit unfortunate in that circumstance, really.
Yeah, I kind of agree on that Armstrong comment just there about he's starting to look a bit more composed in certain aspects of his game. And I think picking out someone when he makes those runs down the right-hand side, he's set up power a couple of times this season. He's created a few chances this year doing that for other people. And Willock, you know, was the latest one there. He's the only one of our strikers that can make something out of nothing. And I think we need to use him a bit more. I understand why he's used in away games. Personally, would probably be starting him in away games now. If we're not going to have as much of the ball. I understand Frey starting at home. I kind of get that. Especially if we're going to have more of the ball and putting crosses in the box. It makes sense. I don't really see an avenue for Dykes. I'm starting to lose a bit of faith in understanding what he brings to the team at this point. Certainly not goals. But yeah.
Jack, you know Dykes, I don't think, I said it a couple of weeks ago, I don't know what you thought of it, that him playing that number 10 role for a few weeks or here and there, I haven't helped him. I find it, I don't know what, it feels like it's hindered him a little bit. In I don't know, that's just my view.
He's kind of confused his like position in the sense of...
Yeah, because he kind of plays there anyway, sort of, like, comes in, doesn't he? So he's just not been in, he's not been in any kind of form since then. Since he had that really good game when he was number 10. I know he set up the Leicester goal, didn't he? Aside from that, since that game that where he was, I can't remember who it was against, he had a really good game, didn't he?
He was getting called Joe Linden.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
I think was the shortest like hype train since they kind of got the t-shirt and everything. Maybe we were far off a Joe Linden mug, but mm-hmm. I think I take your point about the lack of goals being a concern. I think if you look at sort of some of the form under Cifuentes, after that three-game winning run in December, we failed to score in four of the five games after that run. We had another three-game winning run recently, and we've already failed to score in two of the three next games. So you're kind of hoping we're not going to sort of fall into one of these little slumps at the wrong time. And some of these, and time will tell if this Sunderland game was a point gained, you know, if we start by a point, or if it's, you know, 2 points dropped, you know. And I think I'm leaning towards the former. I think it's a point gained, but I understand, and I, you know, tend to agree with some of the noise that, you know, the context of this Sunderland fixture, they're on a six-game losing streak. They'd lost some key players through injury, managerial turmoil. They were not playing well. They're, you know, a bit of a patch team. That was a chance. I think, you know, you're not going to get a better chance to win at Sunderland than that. But a lot of our recent games at Sunderland have been draws. Four out of the last five, actually unbeaten. We won the other game. So it's not the worst hunting ground for us, but I feel like, yeah, there was a win there. So with games like that and the Stoke away game and the West Brom home game, you're starting to wonder, are these missed opportunities going to bite us? But for now, we're outside the relegation zone, 40 points. Only thing I will say, we were 2 points better off at this stage last season, although the majority of that did come from Bills first half of the season.
Is that all?
2 points worse off.
So we were on 42 points at this point last season.
Yeah.
That's mad, that, isn't it?
And how tight it was last year for a bit as well. But this one feels like it's going to be a bit tight. I think I can't see us being safer. What was it, a couple of games to spare last year, was it? I can't remember now. But this one feels like it's final day stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's just whether you're in it, or not. On Sinclair, just going back to him, obviously he was excellent when he came on. Why? I get what you mean by him not being able to start games at the start, but at what point do you trust him enough to be able to do that on a more regular basis? Because by not doing it, you're kind of hindering him being able to do it. At some point, I get rid of relegation battle. I get it, and every game matters. But like you said, he's the only. I don't know. I just think if you're a centre half and you're looking at Sinclair Armstrong, you know you're in trouble. Really, I know Frey's a big lad, but he's always going to be in front. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to get in behind you. You're probably going to be 6 foot odd selfie set. You're going to win your fair share of headers as well. I don't know. I would just like to see him play more. That's all. I just wondered. Will that happen, or will Marty continue to do what he's doing and rotating?
I think he's always going to rotate. I think almost the perfect world is that Sinclair plays the last hour of a game, but you're not going to start a different striker for the first 30 minutes, are you? Because we want him for the period where defenders are most tired.
Yeah, but
we want him on the pitch for longer.
Like, he's quick enough and fit enough to be able to do this to defenders. Do you know what I mean? Like, he should be. Like,
he's not fit enough to do it, though, for 90 minutes every week, though, is he? Because we know every game you see him down, you're thinking, has he pulled something again? All right, no, he's just got cramp. Like, every single game.
I just think that like 60, 70 minutes, I know he hasn't done it over that prolonged period, but I don't know. I just would like to.
It's just, do you want to put survival on our 20-year-old striker who realistically shouldn't be starting in the Championship this season?
Well, I'd rather he start. Over Dykes, yes.
Over Dykes, but this is the position we're in, like we said all season. We haven't got a goal scorer and we're relying on a raw talent to try and do something. Like Jack said, he can be that little bit of like. Just does something spontaneously, just takes someone on, just sprints down the wing and does something that like Dykes and Frey aren't going to do. But by the time he's done that, no one else is anywhere near him. So he's got no option but to take two near post shots, which the angle is not in his favour. And that's the problem. Like, the one chance when someone was up with him was Willock against Sunderland, and he should have buried it and he didn't.
I just think that someone like Sinclair Armstrong being up front does something to centre backs that the other two definitely don't do. But even if he's not at full pace, defenders are always conscious he's around. Or if it gets in behind them, they're panicking. I don't know. And I'm still unsure about Frey starting. I don't know. I don't think we don't get the ball in the box enough to make it super effective. I get it. I always wonder whether him and Dykes are in there as much as well, just for set pieces, defending and attacking, to try and offer us something.
I actually think the key to getting more out of our strikers at this point might be getting Anderson fitter. And if Anderson can play for longer, he's already creating many more chances per 90 than any other player for us this season. No, it's a small sample size for him, but he's already racking up assists. He's got a lovely cross on him, lovely through ball, always has time on the ball. But he fades, doesn't he? And he comes off around 55, 65 minutes. So you kind of, if he can, you know, get a bit more, if we get more out of him in these games, and if we're on top with the ball on Friday against Birmingham, I think that's only going to benefit our strikers, having someone that can put the ball in the right place from a set piece or open play. And then my money would be on Frey to get on the end of it rather than Armstrong or Dykes, who is, you know, is been a long issue with Dykes not getting in the right positions or reading the flight of the ball or the movement. Frey's shown ample times already in his day that he will make that near post run across defender. He may not finish every time, like you say, he's not a natural finisher clearly, but he's at least getting there, and he's going to, you know, they're going to come off sooner rather than later. But I think Anderson's the one to maybe unlock it a bit rather than Chair or Willock at this point.
Well, see, speaking of Chair, I was going to say, like, he was subbed off again, wasn't he?
Yes, interesting.
After 63 minutes, like, do you think that's a fitness thing? Do you think, oh, God, it's the game before the international break. I can't imagine it's a fitness thing. Like, but there's something in that Chair's not now finishing games.
There's got to be more to it. I can't understand it. I never understood it. Unless there's something going on. It didn't look like he was injured because he looked unhappy. It didn't look like he was unfit because you could just kind of tell. I just think if you need a goal, then you kind of keep him on. I can understand if you're trying to protect a lead and you take him off, but I don't really get it. And the sub on Saturday really confused me. Bringing on Joe Hodge, I didn't get it. I watched it. I wasn't sure Joe Hodge was playing real, like, in the centre midfield, but really wide centre midfielder. I don't know. I would have preferred for Chair to stay on, but I don't know if it's got anything to do with Ramadan. I don't know, but loads of players do it, don't they? So, and Chair's fit as a fiddle, isn't he?
Yeah, he's probably the fittest player in our whole squad.
Yeah, so it's
natural fitness level is really high. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Fuentes he's got more knowledge than we have, right? It's just something maybe he's seen.
Yeah.
But this is two games in a row. The first one, it felt like, I'm sure I said last time, Chair walked straight down the tunnel. So I wasn't sure whether he felt ill at half time or something. But it's very odd for our main man to come off early two games in a row.
You wonder if there's sports science advice going on there, and they're thinking, well, preserving for the run-in post-international break, even though he's not going away with Morocco. Maybe that's done as a, you know, as a fail-safe. Maybe the manager thought we've got enough on the bench to rotate in, but we just know we're more likely to win with Chair on the pitch, and, you know, all the numbers back that up. But yeah, if it was done to keep him fresh for this run-in, all for it. But would he have made the difference against Sunderland in the last half hour? He's one of the only players that can sort of get a shot off out, you know, on the edge of the box. He might slide in, you know, like Blackburn. So, yeah, interesting decision. And I hope there's nothing more to it than just a fitness.
The one thing that makes me real positive and thinks that we're going to be okay is that we don't concede. Defensively, we are pretty decent. I think you mentioned it, Doug. I think we were very good at Sunderland defence. We didn't give him an inch. I thought Jake Clark-Salter again was outstanding. Jimmy Dunn, I don't know what's going on, but he had another brilliant game. But it's a real tough opponent as well. Quick little winger. I dealt with him really well. I think Hayden sitting in there just gives us that protection. Just an extra bit of experience. I mean, there's not too much difference between him and Field, but I just think that extra, he just reads the game a bit better. And I think that helps us. That helps us out, so that gives me a glimmer of that gives me some hope that we're not conceding many, and we don't often get beat by more than one goal. I think it's only happened once, hasn't it, Jack? You can since Marty's been in charge, but yeah, Jake Clark-Salter has been excellent, hasn't he?
Well, just looking back, obviously apart from the Borough game, like with the Leicester and West Brom games, they both had two shots on target against us in the whole game. That's two of the better teams in this league. That shows you defensively, we aren't letting teams have that many chances. Unfortunately for us, West Brom's two shots on target, one was an absolute worldie and it went straight in the top corner. Like, 9 times out of 10, that goes straight down the keeper's throat or goes over the bar. So we're definitely not giving up as many chances, which is a good sign. It is a massively good sign. But with it, our problem is we're not scoring, and you don't get 3 points unless you score.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, Ben. We've only had two defeats under Cifuentes by more than the one goal margin. That
it
was
two. Is it two, is it?
Borough at home, Millwall away.
Oh, under, yeah, Millwall.
Under Ainsworth, it happened 11 times in his short tenure last year. So, yeah, definitely huge improvements there. But and in open play as well, I think we're very miserly in terms of opposition chances created. And, you know, the XG against is very low. Comparatively in the league, I think there's only a few teams with a better record since Cifuentes took over. So yeah, that's all good stuff. And the set pieces, have we got better? I say tentatively. I don't know. Maybe we're starting to show a bit more improvement there, defending them. But yeah, we've got to get some goals. We, you know, we've got to start making the most of our set pieces at the other end. And, you know, Birmingham, are they under Rowett? How are they going to approach this? Are they going to dig in and be a bunch of nasty bastards and try and grind out a 1-0 win? Is it one of those games where we get frustrated and can't sort of turn them around and they nick a set piece? You worry it's going to be something like that. But, I think always with us, an early goal, first half, get the players more confident, crowds on side, make Birmingham have to come out, then you bring on your Armstrongs and your Smiths, getting behind second half. If it was as simple as that, we'd all be managers.
Chris, what do you think, mate?
Don't think it's not a good sign for us that Rowett has now come in to be like sort of temporary charge until the end of the season. Like, the obviously it's sad to see kind of what Mowbray's going through, what having joined, but the fact that they then had the kind of interim guy who was well out of his depth and they were on a complete free-for-all was great for us to see. Now bringing in obviously Rowett with so much championship experience, I think Jack knows exactly how he's going to set up. That's less than ideal for us. It's a lot more difficult than it was a day before he was there. But we can't not beat the teams around us for the rest of the season. It's as simple as that. Like, these are the games you have to look at and go, well, we have to take point. We have to beat the teams who are in this relegation battle with us. So if we can't beat Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday at home, then I don't think we can turn around and go, okay, well, we deserve to stay up. So those two games are beyond massive.
I was just going to say, on the home form, I know it's been a long-standing issue now for us, but we've won 4 of 21 home games this season in all comps, which is a 19% win rate in terms of, like, not, you know, competitive season, so non-wartime years. Only in 2012-13 in the Premier League, we won 13% of our games, and we had a lower win rate at home in a competitive season. So historically, really, really bad, you know, in terms of picking up wins at home across a full season. And as Chris says, if we can sort of up the win counts with Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, we'll the table will start looking much more healthier for us and takes a little bit of pressure off, you know, going forward for the rest of the season. But yeah, you know, the home form, if you're going to go down, you look at things like your home form, and at current state, that is relegation home form, isn't it?
Yeah. I've said it for a while. If you can't win your home games, you're in trouble. I think we'll pick up a few points away from home, but probably enough, probably more than anyone else right down there. But for whatever reason, for months and maybe even a couple of years, we've just been so bad at home.
You think Rotherham are the only team with a worse home record than us?
Wow.
And they're probably one of the worst teams you've ever seen in Championship history. Like, they've been so bad this year, and
only 2 points worse than us.
Yeah, exactly. They've only got 2 points at home worse than us. But then when you flip it and you look at the away,
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're 13th. Like, we're comfortably mid-table as an away team. And that is, like you said, like, if all the rest of our games were away from home for the rest of the season, you'd be more than happy that we're going to stay up.
Yeah. I mean, I was on a podcast yesterday with all of the other relegation teams, and a lot of them are in a right mess. They really are. You know, Plymouth got their manager out. You know, they were singing for him to be out in the last game. They've lost all their home form. I think they've not scored a goal at home for the last four games at home. That's what he was saying. You've obviously got Blackburn, who are just in free-for-all. They've got... I can't even believe how difficult their fixtures are. If you look at it, it's absolutely outrageous. They've got the whole... They've got the top four. You know, they've got Bristol City away. It's just real tough fixtures in there. And I think if you can get... If you can get above them, I think you that's where everyone needs to be. You get above Blackburn with those fixtures, you should be able to get more than them, considering their form. They have got Shimodix, who could save them, but I think they're banging trouble. Stoke, they think they're with Shimodix. I don't know. I think he might save them, but still in a bit of a mess. Birmingham are in a right mess. Huddersfield, their new manager bounce hasn't happened. So they're all looking at us with a bit of envy when I was talking about complimentary and about Marty and where we are and the stats, what the stats are saying. But it kind of worried me even more that's the case.
I think Blackburn, like, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think, is it two championship wins since the start of December?
Yeah.
It is.
Wow.
Really bad.
With the league's top goal scorer as well, which, again, is mad.
So they're a sneaky one, aren't they? You know, and they can easily go on and up, like, turn it around. But that is, when you see teams, how'd you get rid of, you know, what was the cause? We went on that dismal run second half of the season. You couldn't get out of it. And it's just like, once the rot sets in, sometimes it's hard to arrest that form. They look like, you know, I mean, if you look at, like, recent form, as you're saying, we're playing at, like, a mid-table top half level.
Yeah.
In terms of the points we're accruing. Certainly nowhere near the state of teams like Blackburn and people like that, teams like that.
Our issue's been that Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield have also been in similar form. I know Huddersfield's tailed off the last few weeks, couple of weeks, but pre that, them two have just stayed with us, haven't they, in and around sort of mid-table since Marty's come in. It's tough. It's, when you look at the table, it's just... I just wouldn't put any money on anyone. I don't know about anyone else. I still think Sheffield Wednesday have got half a chance, more than half a chance.
We're looking at the, like, Opta analyst predictor, where it, like, tries to give, like, current percentages on survival rates and everything like that. Reassuringly for us, as it stands, they've got Rotherham, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham and Huddersfield all more likely to be relegated than us. But as I was saying just before the pod started to Duncan, Chris, you know, if we lose to Birmingham, we don't beat Sheffield Wednesday, suddenly we'll be in that favourites group to go down. But, yeah, for now, like, we're not the fancy team to go down. It's just, if we carry on chipping away with points as we have been at the current rate, you know, we'll probably get to 50 sooner rather than later. Is that enough this year, do you think? Or is it going to be less? Is it going to be more? I mean, a few weeks ago, I thought it was going to be a really high points total. You know, I thought, Christ, the way Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield were going, we were winning. Felt like everyone was winning every week down there. But it's sort of stagnated a bit. You know, Sheffield Wednesday lost their last two games. You say Huddersfield tailed off. You know, we've not won for three games. What are we looking at? Do you think 50 is still, you know, the magic number?
I think Chris knows this. Don't you, Chris? Have you not been doing some work on this?
I think it's still that number that I looked at all those weeks ago, that when we had 26 games left, now we've got 8 left. Yeah, I still think 50 is right. I think at the point a few weeks ago when we were like, oh, it looks like it is more, I think that was just a period where everyone was doing really well, and you naturally think, oh, everybody's going to continue that. But at the end of the day, all of these teams at the bottom were all bad teams, that you aren't going to suddenly all be turning it around at the right time. Yeah. Get, like Jack said, get to 50 as quickly as you can, see where we stand. And I think from what you said, Ben, about the chat you had yesterday, how many of those clubs, teams, fans would want to swap positions with where we are in terms of how we're playing, setup, manager, squad, positivity? I don't think many would want to be in their position over us, but obviously we're going to take the negative perception because that we're the ones in it. but we wouldn't swap with any of the others, would we? You might argue, oh, we'd swap with Millwall simply because they're 3 points higher than us and they've got a manager that they is a club legend that they can get behind. But I still, they might well finish above us and they might survive. But I don't rate him as a championship manager. He's come in, he's got rah, 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 we're Millwall. That might be enough for them. But they'll be poor next season. There isn't a Millwall fan who listens to this who's going to clip that at the end of the season when Millwall run to the playoffs under Neil Harris.
I don't think any of their fans will be listening to this, mate, if I'm honest.
Exactly.
So we can cut it up, though. We can put that clip out if you want. But just on that point, obviously, Millwall needs 7 points to get to 50. Sheffield Wednesday, the only other team like down the right at the bottom, need 12. Are we going to say there's 8 teams there that are all going to pick up between 7 and 12 points to get to that magic 50 mark?
No.
It's not realistic that all 8 teams are going to hit 50 points. So that gives us a slightly fighting chance that it could be just under 50. Maybe 48, 49 points.
We have to beat Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday at home and pick up another win somewhere, right? If we do that, you then take away a game from Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday. So they've only got 7 games, right? Of those 7 games, they've then got to win 3 or 4. If we don't pick up a draw, maybe it's a big ask, isn't it, for all of the teams down there to do that. But it's easier said than done. It's QPR, and I have no doubt that there's going to continue to be some ups and downs. We just cannot fall in that relegation zone. Especially with those last 4 fixtures. I don't know how they're going to pan out. They could pan out that we pay them all at the right time. You know, like Hull, Preston all not in the playoffs, you know, on the beach maybe. Leeds have gone up by the time we play them. We could get lucky like that, play Coventry, they could be in the cup final. I don't know, like, but equally, they could all still have something to play for. And those last 4 games could look completely different in my eyes. But
I feel we need to be as close to 50 points before we get to those 4 games. So that means we've got to win 3 out of the next 4.
Which is probably not going to happen, right?
We absolutely, basically, we just can't lose to Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday. Definitely not those two. And I argue we can't lose to Blues.
No.
If it is, like, 3 points from those games sounds awful right now. But it's not them gaining. We're both getting a point from that game. See what I mean? That sounds obvious, but they're really, whilst they are definite wins, they are 100,000% like can't lose games. But luckily, we have a manager who is not going to have that attitude by any means and is going to go out to win. So I think we still have to be positive to go, look, we have been playing really well under him. Like, we have been, fans are excited about watching us play again. It is far more entertaining and fun. Yeah, there are games where we don't take our chances and don't convert, but this isn't the absolute sort of struggle and pain it was 12 months ago when we were like, God, when is the next point going to come from? And then, yeah, obviously we had the Burnley game, but that is 1 out of 100.
What are we saying then, Birmingham? Do we think, what many changes would we, Dunk, what changes would you make? What team would you go with? I feel like,
well, Dyke's nowhere near the starting 11. That's my first change.
I don't think that he will. I'd like to see something different, but I don't know, at home especially. I don't know. I'm just not sure that it works. But I'd quite like to see Sinclair and Frey up front together. But I don't think that's just completely out of Marty's way of playing, isn't it?
But then, who do you drop in the? So who would you not start out? Willock, Jair, Anderson?
Well, yeah, I don't know, but you know. It kind of comes back to Sinclair dropping Sinclair. Could you drop someone on? Come on, and I wouldn't be dropping Chair, that's for sure. But would Anderson be more effective in the last 20 minutes of a football match if he's not fit enough?
I think he's fit, enough to do an hour. We know that, and I think we're gonna. If it's gonna be the game we think it's gonna be, where we're maybe gonna dominate possession.
Yeah,
you want someone like that to dictate it a little bit in the final third, and try and unlock it and try and put a couple of balls in, you know, in the box. And I agree. And you look at who your best crossers are, Willock and Anderson. I'd be starting both of those. I think in terms of your starting team, I think it's usual back five. And I'd actually be going Field and Hayden to sort of shore it up in the middle. And then I would have Anderson, Chair, Willock playing quite far forward with Frey as a target man. I think that's how I would go. I don't know if I can make
it. I agree.
I don't know where Hodge's position should be at this point. And I don't know if Colback's done nothing wrong, to be honest. But I think Field's playing quite well. Birmingham, maybe, you know, how physical are they going to be? Do we want a bit of height, a bit of extra, you know, defensive assurance if we're going to have an extra sort of attacking midfielder playing in Anderson? So, yeah, I'd probably go that. But you can make a case for it. I'd definitely start Hayden. I think Hayden's the key, like, defensive cog there. But then it's either Field or Colback. That's the only sort of thing in the centre midfield that I would be, you know, debating. But I think the front four picks itself in home games, I'm basing it what I think the manager's going to do as well. I don't think he'll start two up front. I don't think he'll start Dykes. I think he'll go Frey again. He got a couple of goals in that match against Arsenal, didn't he?
Apparently, Chair looked really good in that game as well, apparently.
Yeah. That
bodes well. Yeah. I agree with Jack. That's just exactly the team I'd go for. Like, Marty's never going to go two up top. I watch him do it now just because I've said that he'll never do it, but I just don't see he's ever going to deviate from his style of play. He's a bit like Guardiola in that sense. It's plan A is going to work until plan A works. Like, he has his way, he has his style, and that's what he wants to do.
Chris, what do you think, mate?
I think Colback will start purely because I think Birmingham are going to come to sit very deep, not want the ball. And therefore, if Marty knows that, we need the better ball player in midfield, and out of Colback and Field, that is Colback. So I think he'll want that. But again, it's a game where we need him, if he is going to start, to basically run the game. He's done it a few times in his better periods. I'm sort of blanking on the home games it's been, but he has done it. But we need one of that. We need like an 8 out of 10 performance from him specifically. Because if he can get us dictating from that period and getting the ball into the creative three, then yeah, we'll be confident. Agree with the rest of the setup though.
I'd just like to see something different. I don't know what that is. I don't know, but just something that isn't as predictable as I think that we're going to be. I do agree. I think it will be the team that you mentioned, Jack. But I don't know, it could all blow up, couldn't it? One person I did want to chat quickly about is Begovic and what your views have been on him this season. I don't think he'll be here next season, but would you have him back next season? And because I often, he hasn't had a lot to do over the last sort of few weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. And I can't say I've seen him make too many amazing saves, you know, Matt winning saves, but we're going to need him this end of the season, I think. I would just be interested to know some of your views on him and how his season's been.
Anyone want to take it? He hasn't had much to do. We should take that as a big positive. Like, I think for ages we've actually spoken about how good our XGC has been from open play. And that isn't down to a keeper. That's down to your defensive setup and your system. So that's a positive. If he was having to pull off worldies every week, we might be giving him specifically more praise, but that is a bad sign as a team. And that's why I think most of his memorable saves this season were under Ainsworth, because as a team, we're obviously defensively shocking. And he was having to put in better performances. I think we spoke a few weeks ago. I don't want to speak for everybody else, but I think we would be fine for him to move on if you get a replacement in who's better on the ball, basically.
He's not a Marty Cifuentes goalie, is he? He's not good enough with his feet, like Chris said. He'll be gone in the summer, 100%.
I would argue, just... and I wouldn't argue, but his feet have been okay, surprisingly okay. I know he's not great, but he hasn't contributed to any goals. It's not like every week he's conceded an opportunity to do with his feet. I don't know. I'm not saying that his positioning is, and his shot stopping's been a bit of an issue for me. More, I don't know. I expected more from him in that respect. I mean, he's great in the air, isn't he? Right, in the air, he's dominant. I know he had that mistake in the corner, but I don't know. That's just my view. I don't know, Jack, what you.
I think he's always been a filler, stopgap keeper, isn't he? Just plug him in this season. Hopefully, his experience helps the team get through to the other end and we stay in the championship. I think he has cost us a few goals in recent months. I think the underlying XG...
Is that from his feet, though?
The fact he can't move his feet quick enough.
The underlying XG on target numbers suggest that he's conceded 7 goals more than he should have done based on the shots he's faced. Only 2 keepers have got a worse, rate than that. So the underlying numbers are not good for him, but from, just watching him as visually as a fan, I think he's made plenty of good saves. He's kept us in certain games. We've had more clean sheets this season than last year. So like there's good and bad to it, to be honest. Like I think he's a keeper that's over the hill. I think he's lost a step and I think he's a bit slow. Leicester away goal sticks in the mind in recent weeks, but no, he's not someone I'd look to keep. I think there's going to be better, younger, cheaper options out there on a free in the summer. But you just hope that he doesn't cost us too many more goals by the end of the season. But yeah, I wouldn't be sad to see him go. I just think he's just been a stopgap.
I worry about when we need him. That's, I guess, my point. If we're going to need him, it's fine not having a shot on target, but that's not going to happen every game. And I just worry. Chris, do you worry?
I think now Jack said he's conceded 7 more goals than he should have done down to the stats. That's not great, is it? I prefer a keeper who's in the top half of that band.
Yeah, that top 6 list is like Senny Dieng's in there, Ingram's in there. QPR's who's who of past keepers, but no, it's actually the Southampton keeper Bazunu who's got the worst rate for that, and the whole keeper also, they're the ones above him. But those underlying sort of XG numbers, but it's not the be all and end all. And ultimately, he's a keeper with vast experience, played in big matches, and as Ben says, when the time comes, I'd expect him to step up and to make some of those big saves because he has done in periods in the season. My worry is that he's also not saved shots that look quite savable. And, when is he going to make it count? We don't know. He's lucky that he's got a very good centre-back pairing in front of him and some very good defensive midfielders. I think that's reducing a lot of chances coming his way and shots coming his way. So, yeah, we'll see. But I don't think he's going to be super busy against Birmingham. Famous last words, but let's hope when he is called upon, he does step up.
Oh, I've got his head. Oh, no. Tyler Roberts bouncing around in my head again.
I was going to say, we all know that the person who's going to put in a man-of-the-match performance is Birmingham's goalkeeper, because John Ruddy always plays well against us.
Yeah.
always does, doesn't he? Like, he always pulls out worldies, always seems to be super motivated against us for some reason.
It's great that I know we bang on about it every week, but the support, again, has just been outstanding, hasn't it? Like, I think there was 200 tickets left. I mean, they'll be gone well before Friday. And it's good also that we're not giving the away teams the bottom tier. We need every advantage we can get, albeit as little as it might be. I just get fed up with watching a team win and they've got, top and bottom tier. It just hits home a bit harder, doesn't it? It gives us a slight advantage and we can sell it out now, which is great, right? And again, as Swansea as well, I noticed there's some good away following on a bank holiday Monday. Looks like we're going to get sort of 1,500, 2,000 there. So, yeah, I mean, just saying, it's good that the fans have been so great all season. Even in the dark Ainsworth days, we were still somehow selling out Loftus Road. I don't know what was going on then.
Everyone was just desperate to see that first home win, weren't they?
Yeah. That's what Friday is either going to be the best game of the season or the worst. Just like, do you know what I mean? That's just how it's going to go. All right, lads, we'll do a quick couple of predictions then. I want predictions for the two games on over Bank Holiday, over the Easter. And who, at this point now, if you had to put money on three teams going down, who would it be? Does anyone want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll go. I think we'll win 2-0 against Birmingham, and yep. I think we'll lose 2-1 at Swansea. And for me, that would be okay, right? And I mean, don't want to lose at Swansea, obviously, but I'd rather beat Birmingham and keep Birmingham below us for another round of games. If I had to put money on the three teams to be below us, I mean, it goes without saying Rotherham. I think the wheels are going to fall off Sheffield Wednesday. And I think Birmingham are going to slip in. Sound like I've got something in for Birmingham tonight, but it's not. I take out the Rowett factor. I don't know how big a factor that is. He hasn't got Jukovic, who's injured, and he loves him. But I think Birmingham could be one of those teams that slip in, and, you know, that'd be quite poetic with Dizel and Roberts and Laird and all those guys who got relegated last year. So, yeah.
I reckon it's going to be a draw.
What you say, mate?
I'm going 1-1 against Birmingham. And I'm going 1-0 win for us against Swansea. You can see us somehow getting an away goal, sinks on the counter-attack. Somehow just see us getting that win. Going down, obviously Rotherham. I think it's the current bottom three, Wednesday in Huddersfield. I think... Like we said, our form isn't going to last like how it's been. I can't see theirs either. I think once they start losing a couple, they'll just go into free fall, is what my opinion is. Famous last words.
I think both games will be a draw. I just don't feel I can... Well, the one time I got really positive and predicted a win recently was Borough and got hit right in the face with that. I feel it'll be a game we'll be on top and just won't, unfortunately, be able to break him down. Going down, I really kind of want to predict like a Blackburn or a Plymouth, but I just kind of feel like it's so tough for them to keep being poor. And yeah, Huddersfield to sort of not keep drawing games. I think I think Wednesday will go down. I'm gonna say Plymouth will go down. I think despite the fact that they've got Morgan with, so they got like the second top goal scorer in the league, which shows you that's not the be all and end all. But I think the drop off from losing Schumacher is huge. I think if you at this point of a season, if your fan base wants a manager out, that's not what you need. You need the kind of everything to be together. So hopefully us beating them away will be a factor of them going down.
Let's hope Warnock doesn't get the job at Plymouth at some point.
Before. Yeah, that's the worry, isn't it?
Comes in last four games.
Yeah. Oh. I think, look at Blackburn's fixtures, man. They're so tough. They've got Ipswich, Sunderland away, Southampton, Coventry, Leeds. They end at Leicester.
Because I can see them going doing like what we did at Burnley and just absolutely from nowhere getting the win they shouldn't have got.
Yeah, I think they will. I think Plymouth are in big trouble. I think I'm going to go... I can't remember what you said, Chris, but I think I'll go Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth. I think Huddersfield are bang in trouble as well. They'll be in and around it. But when we catch up next week, it could all look different. We could all be saying different teams. I think we'll. I'm so pessimistic. I like the best of times. I'm thinking like we're going to mess it up this weekend and get 1 point. No, I don't know why. Anyway. We'll leave it on that. Now, has anyone got anything else that we haven't spoken about? Anything that, any other observations or anything? It's been quite quiet this week. I don't know. Anything going on the socials? I saw that there was a, did anyone see the Sinclair Armstrong to Liverpool tweet that was going around? Did anyone see that?
Nice.
No?
Oh.
That one.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah. No.
What, replace Darwin Nunes?
No, I just saw that it, yeah, it something. I think it was a load of rubbish, but again, though, like I was speaking to a Sunderland fan and he was like, let's buy, we need, whatever we do, we need to buy Sinclair Armstrong in summer. He's amazing, he's brilliant, he's just so good. How does he not start? How can he not? Like, this is what I get, like, I get it every week from like when I speak to people of the opposition, whenever he plays.
Ipswich fans loved him this year, he played two of his season, you know, against.
What? Some of the fans dying for a striker. They were like, how much would he cost? I was like, I don't know. They're like, we need to buy him. Yeah.
They basically haven't had a proper striker for like 2 years. So, yeah, it's not a shock. And then when he impresses, yeah, I get it. We just need to get him sign the contract.
So you think he has? With us.
I don't think he will until he knows what league we're in next year. That's me being realistic. I think he'll wait and see how the season plays out.
Yeah. Cool. All right, lads. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll get together next week after the next two games, and hopefully we'll be in a better place. And we'll be able to think a little bit more optimistically about the rest of the season.
Hopefully we'll be 4 points off 50.
Fingers crossed.
4 points of 50, yeah. Yeah, cool. All right, lads. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and enjoy your Easter weekend. Yours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.